So we started discussing the pasuk, a beautiful pasuk in Yeshaya Navi. Part of the pasuk says, "Don't be busy with your desires." Chazal learned from here, "Chafetzecha" means your desires, but if it's chafetz shamayim, spiritual, Hashem's desires, that's permissible to be done. If you could be busy, you could be machshecha l'tchum right before Shabbos. You could go to the tchum in order to be able to be busy, engage with tzorcha mitzvah. So that means, and included in that, is you're allowed to also be mefakech, at least karavim mishamas, which means to me, if it's things that are public needs, you're allowed to make meetings. You're allowed to go to government officials. You could go to, you know, someone just went to, one of the rabbis went to the coronation of the king. You obviously have to do it, it was on Shabbos. So tzorcha rabim have the status of chesed shamayim. Fascinating. Shaila is exactly what the rabbi means. It doesn't just mean the family. Also, you're allowed to speak to someone in order to hire him, in order to teach your child Torah, or even a job. That's also considered a mitzvah. You just can't close on the deal on the specific prices. The reason for that is, because again, parnasa is something that a person who has a profession, he's not going to end up stealing. A person is not allowed to hire the Malamed than Shabbos, like we said, because that schirus is an entirely shvus. It's a real the rabban, and that's not permitted, even for shel mitzvah. And only something that's not also, only because of mitzvah chavtzecha v'davadava, that's huto b'shul, because of mitzvah. So again, mitzvah chavtzecha v'davadava, learning, first of all, you can be busy with your own desires and your own needs, but you can be busy with spiritual needs, or mitzvah needs, or public needs. And if a person needs to announce, even in a Veda and Shabbos, that I saw an interesting piece of Shabbos, right? Someone once asked me the Shaila, can you give out a queue of cards, these cards? Not only is that permissible, I saw that the Piskei Teshuvos quote that you could also give chasana invites if you think that you're not going to be able to see people during the week. So that's even a bigger chiddush. Again, we're talking about there's an erev, etc. When it says in the pasuk davar, we mentioned this. So we said you're not allowed to speak things that you're not allowed to do in Shabbos. But the Chazal on another concept from this, the fact that it says davar implies only dibur is also, but hirurim, thinking, is mutter. So technically speaking, you're allowed to think about your business. Nevertheless, because of Oinek Shabbos, it's a mitzvah to not be busy thinking about your business. And it should be in your eyes as if your business was done. This is what it means in the pasuk, Sheshizam Tavod. This is a kumalach, 6 days you work, and you'll do your entire work. What do you mean? A person can't finish his entire work in a week? There's always more to do. The answer is you're supposed to see every Shabbos. You're supposed to see as if everything was completed. And he says, interesting chap, there is no greater pleasure than that. When a person really trusts Hashem, and he's telling him, you have to view things as everything was completed on Shabbos. And certainly a person should not be busy thinking about things that are going to cause him worry and trouble. You're allowed to tell a worker, will I see you tonight? This applies both to a Jew and a non-Jew. So even though he understands through that you're hinting that you want to hire him Motzei Shabbos, as long as you're not explicitly saying, I need to hire you Motzei Shabbos, that's okay. Because again, this is working with this principle that you're not saying words that are usher, you're implying, you're hinting, and therefore it's okay. Now, you shouldn't say, I want you to be show up to my house in a Motzei Shabbos. That's not okay. The language that you should is, it, does it seem to you that you'll be able to be, to stop by me at night? That's basically the limit to how far you could go. If you're hiring someone to guard something for you on Shabbos, by the way, this applies very much in weekends and stuff, and you're hiring babysitters, the worker is not allowed to take Schar Shabbos. This is based on the Tisefta, it's a sugya about Mitzvah. Interesting, you're not allowed to take Schar Shabbos on Shabbos. But if they were hired for the weekend, if they were hired for a week, they're hired for a month, then you have a concept called Havlah. So you always have to figure out a way of being paid by Havlah. This applies, by the way, to the famous truth from Moshe regarding banks, how you're allowed to make the extra money that you're making each day, the interest that's occurring during Shabbos and Yom Tov. Moshe says, so technically the reason why you get around that is because of the fact that the day and the night that is not the same, meaning that Motzei Shabbos already is still in the bank, you're still accruing so money. So that's why it's okay. The problem is you have Yom Tov Shabbos one after the other, and that he actually says to give it for its tzedakah. You're not allowed to give a present to your friend on Shabbos unless it's something that's a tzorech Shabbos. So that includes wines and stuff like that. That's permissible to be given on Shabbos. A big shaila if you give a bar mitzvah boy a present, let's say a sefer, which he's not going to use on Shabbos, So the best thing is to be koinit through someone else before Shabbos. You're not giving a mashkan to your friend unless it's a tzorich mitzvah or the tzorich Shabbos, and you shouldn't tell him here's a mashkan. Rather, you should just give it to him. I mean, sometimes we discuss if you have to have a guarantee that the person that you need to get something, then I can give it to you without some mashkan. And shita hediyotas, famous shaila of documents that are basically non-essential documents, whether it includes these includes loans, bills, even letters of shalom, which is interesting. You get a letter from someone, you're not allowed to even examine them without reading them out loud. This is one of the most difficult challenges because people today have all these different booklets and stuff that they send out on Shabbos, and you have different advertisements, everything else. And really, the halacha lechatchila for sure, you should avoid it. But, and even again, if you only be mahal, we said it's aser, but because we said that that's only when you're engaged in, right, when it's not recognizable that you're thinking about the things that are forbidden. But here, when you're looking at items, that's advertisements, etc., it's really a problem. There is a shtikul limud zchus on these things, and especially as the kitzur himself says, if you have a letter that was sent to you, and you are concerned that maybe it's something that is going to be negat to you, like gufoy, good shayla what that means exactly, has some application. Let's say you need to know ingredients about food, medicine, something that's negat to you right now for Shabbos, so then you're allowed to examine it, but you're still not allowed to read it out loud. So that's the challenge. Really, you shouldn't be moving around letters, newspapers. This is a big tumma about the newspapers also, because the newspapers is a shayla of neilat, big discussion about that. When it comes to a wall or tablets that have these different shapes, this is a very interesting concept. Pictures and dragons and different things that then you have writings underneath that describe the actual picture. So interesting how exactly this is forbidden because you might come to be busy with business. This is all meaning an extension of business, of business documents, etc. And coming and erasing and doing business and Shabbos is also only an extension. So even though it seems a little bit far-fetched for us today, it's still forbidden to read these things and even to examine them according to the Kitzur Zasar. And then he goes on to discuss even what are you allowed to read on Shabbos? And he says that the books that describe wars and documentaries and all these different novels and everything else, novels especially, he points out that these are things that especially for men could be a very bad thing because if they're things that just in regard to the things between men and women, etc., then of course it's something that for a person is always forbidden to read, and these things could be also either because it creates hiruim or also because of Moshe Leitzim. So even though they're written Lashon HaKodesh, what exactly is that? I saw in the prescription because Lashon HaKodesh, at least every time you read something in Hebrew, technically you're being mekayem a mitzvah because somehow it relates to Divrei Kedusha. Nevertheless, today it's not so simple. And he does discuss, so wait a minute, what are you allowed to read? You're allowed to read, of course, there's a lot to read. Today you have the circle. But besides that, you have Midrashim and you have Sifrei Mus, and you even can read historical books like Josephus because they are written, even though they're written in other languages, because they have some form of Yirat Shamayim. They're teaching you history. They're teaching you about concepts of Judaism. So that is permitted to be done. And even that, Kitzur says, especially someone that is able to learn, shouldn't be involved in it too much. You're not allowed to measure on Shabbos unless it's a tzarech mitzvah. Good shayla what that means exactly. When you're measuring a matzah size, that's a tzarech mitzvah. I wanted to say, and I saw it's a debate, whether someone's on a special, really special restricted diet where he has to measure, I think that also would fall into the category of tzarech mitzvah, but I saw that that's not so simple. When it comes to a person that sees that he's going to have a situation of a serious loss, he's allowed to speak to a Jew, whether to a Jew or even, of course, to a non-Jew, to try to help him out. The Mokum say that you see in a great loss, you're allowed to be lenient. Anything, and this is now entering the whole world of what's called Amil Akum. Anything that a Jew is not allowed to do, he's not allowed to tell a non-Jew to do. Amil Akum is a Shavuos, and this is the Rabban. This applies all over Torah, but especially when it comes to Shabbos, you're not even allowed to hit him to do the action. And even to say before Shabbos, they should do something in Shabbos, also not us, is also aser. Now, the real intro to this is that there's kind of three reasons that are given when it comes to Amil Akum. The two classical is Rashi Masecha Shabbos, that is like a shliach when you tell him to do something for you, and that's why it applies to things even before Shabbos. And there's a Rashi in Masecha Zavei Zohar that says it's because of Dabel Dabel, that your language should be not a language that speaks about actions of Malacha. And that applies, of course, to Shabbos. And that's what the Avnei Nezer has a whole, makes all the different nafkaminas, how these things apply. And we're going to get into the whole discussion of hinting. Hinting is interesting, that there are times you like to hint a non-Jew, especially if, let's say, something's already the but with that we'll get to Bezat Hashem. And the Kitzur does point out you're not allowed to tell a non-Jew on Shabbos to do something after Shabbos. And even though, wait a minute, this is not a Shavuos because the action is being done in Rishas Hetter. But this is a whole different reason, because of Mitzvah Chavtzecha, which we discussed before, being busy with your desires that you're not supposed to be busy with on Shabbos Kodesh. But if it's a Tzech Mitzvah, you'd be allowed to do so. So that's a good Hetter.